for meat. I'm disposable, biodegradable. Why not just treat our bodies like meat then? I'm using and abusing it. I'm slicing bits off if you want to. In the 21st century in London, we might feel so unwise and sophisticated. But we look around and we see, don't we, so much body confusion and mess and chaos and disorder. What are our bodies for? This is when the letter of 1 Corinthians lands. The church in Corinth, this is a church of fairly newish Christians, and they are grappling with this question. It seems like they also had ideas coming at them from the city, and maybe some sort of fancy Greek philosophy, some Greek religion, and wise-sounding ideas. But now they've left all that behind. Our last passage, if you were here last week, said this, and that they were sanctified and washed, justified in the name of the Lord Jesus. That is who they are now, and these people, they look like us. Now we've turned to Jesus. How should we use our bodies? So my prayer for all of us this morning is that we'd understand, we'd see how significant our bodies really are, and we'd love and want to use them as God intended. Do use your handout to follow along. And yes, I think you've probably seen we're going to be talking about sex. And you might think that's a strange thing to be hearing in a church. What's going on here? But it's surprising, isn't it, that in the Bible, God is talking about sex. God knew that we needed to hear this, and using our bodies rightly involves using sex rightly. So we're going to talk about it today. Let's start the passage. And before we get to the right way of thinking, we see the confusing wisdom on offer there. Here we go, verse 12. All things are lawful for me, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be enslaved. Anything. And you see what Paul is doing here? He's bringing up what their culture says, of all things are lawful, and then he's correcting it. Not all things are helpful, are they, really, let's be honest. It seems like people are walking around saying, our bodies can be used for anything. We're completely free to even for whatever. Sounds familiar to today, doesn't it? But Paul wants to put the brakes on and say, hang on, hold up, Christians. Let's think about this. Let's consider first, what are they saying about food, verse 13? Food, they say, is meant for the stomach, and the stomach for food, and God will destroy both one and the other. The body is not meant for sexual immorality, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. So they seem to think our bodies exist for food, and stomach for food, and food for the stomach. So when your tummy's rumbled, hunger strikes, use your body for food, they say. Hand, arm, chicken. That's good. That's what they say. But this is where they go extra wrong. They think that food is like sex. So when people have a sexual appetite and cravings strike, they say, use bodies for sex. Hands, legs, sex organs, satisfy the craving. I'm chewing the chicken bar. They think the point of bodies is to satisfy cravings, whether they're food cravings or sex cravings or whatever, it doesn't matter. And just to be clear, this is totally wrong. The big red X on your handout for a reason, this is not right, this is not how we think about things. Maybe this comes from Greek philosophy, like Plato, a philosopher we learn about in school. He thought our bodies, well, they're disposable meat bags, chuck them in the bin when we're done with them, and our true inner self lies within. Well, if that's true, then we can use our bodies for whatever we want. It doesn't matter. And that might sound so wise, but it's really not. Paul needs to teach us. This is what our bodies are for. Our bodies are for the Lord, verse 13. The body is not meant for sexual immorality, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. And God raised the Lord, and will also raise us up by his power. So our bodies are not meant merely for food, not merely for sexual immorality. Our bodies, they exist for the Lord. That is their purpose. Sexual immorality, to be clear, that means anything sexual outside of marriage. That's what the Bible means by sexual immorality. So it's anything that looks like sex, smells like sex, that could be touching, or on a screen, or in a book, or in our heads. Jesus calls that immoral if it's outside of marriage. And here it says, our bodies just aren't made for that. Instead, our bodies are made for the Lord, meaning the Lord Jesus. Of course, it's significant, isn't it, that Paul here brings up the Lord Jesus? Because, of course, Jesus had a body. And his body teaches us about our bodies. In the Bible, the God of the Old Testament, the Lord, Yahweh, he incarnated the first Christmas. Think of chili con carne, and he took on flesh, meat. He became a man with an actual body, Jesus. And Paul says here in verse 14, God raised the Lord. And after Jesus died, and God the Father raised him back to life. Not some sort of floaty ghost spirit type thing, but with a real, actual, tangible body. Eating food, being touched by disciples. And Jesus still has this real body today. And he will do into eternity. So we learn a lot about our bodies from his body. Verse 14, Paul saying, and God raised the Lord and will also raise us up by his power. Yes, of course our bodies, they will go into the ground and decay like food if Jesus doesn't come back first. But unlike food, our bodies will be raised like Jesus is. We will have renewed bodies forever into eternity. So our bodies, not some sort of cheap, single-use, throw-it-away meat bag. Our bodies, they are who we are. We are embodied beings. Our bodies, ultimately, are undisposable, non-biodegradable, lasting forever, and Jesus is Lord over our bodies. This already, can't we see, it has huge amounts to say to today in London. Recently, the YouTube algorithm decided to show me an advert, perhaps we've all seen this advert. It's of two brains floating in fish tanks, and the brains, they're sort of plugged into watching their phones forever. They can scroll TikTok, whatever, forever and ever, endlessly. Sure, yeah, it's a bit of fun for an advert, but what's that saying about our bodies? Basically, they're sort of a waste of time. They get in the way. Our bodies, well, they just exist to satisfy our cravings. TikTok, food, sex, whatever. It might sound, I'm so freeing and so wise to say our bodies are for whatever, but, well, in the Bible, it's not Jesus who doesn't have a body. It's the devil. The devil has no body, and he says that bodies don't matter. We know that we are our bodies. This is what it teaches us, and we are called to use our bodies rightly. And as we do use our bodies rightly, we declare to the world, yes, Jesus is Lord over my body. My body is for the Lord. Now we're going to see what this looks like in practice, and Paul spells it out, and he says three times, you can probably see on your service sheet, don't you know? Don't you know this question, Corinthians? Come on, come to the inside track. You think you're wise? Listen in for God's wisdom. Firstly, verse 15, Corinthians, do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them members of a prostitute? Never. Our bodies are for the Lord because our bodies are joined to Christ's body. And so you see what he's saying here? He's saying our bodies, flesh and blood, are members, they're limbs of Christ's body. So each of us trusting in Jesus this morning is like an arm or a leg of Christ's body. And so imagine now, it's pretty gruesome, but it's what Paul's saying, ripping an arm or a leg off Christ's body, skin tearing and blood pumping, and then joining it with a prostitute's body. What a thought. It's disgusting, isn't it? And the prostitute idea for us, it might seem to come out of nowhere, but this is concrete reality for the Corinthians, and where prostitution in their city is widely accepted. And some thought, well, joining with a prostitute has no effect on the real enemy inside, just my body. But that's not true, is it? And we've seen that our bodies matter more than we realise. In fact, this week I was talking about this passage with Joel Shear, who heads up the Canada Water Congregation. We're both preaching this passage this morning, thinking about how to illustrate this. We thought about, for a second, getting some sort of doll and then taking off the leg. But we thought even that was a bit too much, a bit too graphic, because it is a disgusting thought. That's precisely the point. This disgust and revulsion is what the Holy Spirit wants to stir up in our hearts. So when we read, should I take off a limb from Christ's body? We react like Paul, end of the verse, never, absolutely not, disgusting. Our bodies are for the Lord. because our bodies are part of his body. More destructive than using a book wrongly or a drum kit as a football, way more destructive than that. Joining bodies wrongly is deeply, profoundly destructive. It damages who we are, truly. I hope we can see this. We want to use our bodies rightly. Paul then explains how this happens. This is how one body gets joined to another. Don't you know this, Christians? Verse 16. Or do you not know that he who joins to a prostitute becomes one body with her? For as it is written, the two will become one flesh. But he who is joined to the Lord becomes one spirit with him. It turns out for the Corinthians that sex is a much bigger deal than they could have possibly imagined. Sex, in fact, is what joins bodies together. Sex, and Samuel was saying earlier, it's like human superglue. Super strength, sexual duct tape. I'm gluing the two people involved together. This is actually what Christians have taught since the beginning. Mighty kindly read for us, Genesis. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and his mother and hold fast and be joined, stuck together to his wife. They're one flesh. God says sex is what sticks bodies together. Now, maybe that we're just visiting here this morning. Maybe we've been coming a part of Grace Church for ages and ages. Either way, we're totally welcome. But it might be that whoever we are, we've heard that the Bible is anti-sex. That the Bible says sex is bad. We should stay clear of it at all times. But I'd love to say clearly this morning that that is not true. The Bible is incredibly pro-sex. Pro-sex in the way that God designed it. And God gave us this good design for sex from the beginning, we read earlier. And if God's good design for sex is to sellotape, to glue married people together, well, sexual relationships outside of marriage is outside of God's good design for sex. It's like using sexual superglue with someone and then being ripped, forced apart from them. Imagine a piece of paper being glued and ripped apart. It creates real damage. And this makes sex an extra big deal. Sex is clearly, it's not at all like eating food, is it? But the Corinthians thought it was the same. They thought, well, we can sin with food. We can eat too much and be greedy, but even the worst sinning with food doesn't damage and rip apart our bodies spiritually like this, does it? That is why Paul says in verse 18, this makes sense, and flee from sexual immorality. Every other sin a person commits is outside the body, but the sexually immoral person sins against his own body. And the Corinthians were saying, are thinking that sex is like food. We can just consume sex. We can consume sex like we consume pizza or chicken. Down it goes. Out it goes. No spiritual effects. But that's not true, is it? And the mistake we see in our culture today is, isn't it almost identical? London thinks that sex is essentially meaningless. That sex is no more than just taking up any other hobby. Or grabbing a takeaway at lunch when we feel hungry. Just scratching an itch when we feel like it. And this view, our culture's view of sex is far, far too low. With sex, there is something deeply and spiritual going on as our bodies are joined together. And so with wrong sex, well, something deeply horrific is going on. When someone joined to the Lord Jesus joins themselves to another. So Paul says, flee. Run away as fast as your legs can carry you. This is how significant our bodies really are. And we're not fleeing, it's like when a fire alarm goes off and we leave the door. And the problem is with fire alarms is we've had so many of them that we don't really care. And we sort of like waltz out and we chat to our friend on the way out. We don't really care about fire alarms. But imagine if the roof was actually coming down in flames, the sprinklers are on, the fire alarms are blaring, we would be out the door in a flash. No looking back. That is what fleeing is. But instead, I feel like some people treat sexual immorality like the game at the beach. We might have played this game, the game when, you know, the wave comes in and you run back, and then the wave goes out and you sort of run after it, and then you sort of run back again and the wave comes. And the point of the game is trying to get as close as you can to the wave without getting drenched, without getting soaked. And some of us maybe treat sexual immorality in the same way. How close can I get without getting drenched? Soaked in immorality. But the Bible has the opposite idea. Flee and run. Stop playing the game. Get off the beach and run away as fast as your legs can carry you. I'm going to give three areas this impacts us today. If we're dating, if we're married, and if we're using technology, all of us. Firstly, dating. If we're not married to someone, even if we're engaged, any sexual activity with that person is outside of God's design. And so it'd be worth thinking together as a couple or with Christian friends, how is it that you can run away from sexual immorality? Maybe ideas could be perhaps not going on holiday together, or deciding not to be home alone together and with the door closed perhaps. And we've seen the damage caused by using our bodies wrongly. Why do we want to take a step close and see how close we can get to immorality? Flee if we're dating. Secondly, for those of us who are married, we know that temptation, it doesn't disappear on our wedding day, but we see that it is a terrible thing, and we flee. Maybe this could mean something like not travelling alone with a colleague of the opposite sex, or it could mean maybe not being alone with a person of Grace Church of the opposite sex. We run away. And finally, technology. All of us use technology, surely. It is shocking if you think about it. How much of TV, Netflix, and the internet exists, the point of it exists, its purpose, is to entertain us with sexual immorality. And London, people watch it for entertainment, and we think it's normal and fine, but we look at these words and it's not. How do we feel about enjoying that for entertainment? Surely we want to flee. I had a friend of mine, I used to live in Belgium, a friend of mine had just become a Christian, and he understood these verses and what they meant for him. And for him it meant he got rid of his phone, he got rid of his laptop, he just had a Nokia brick, and he used library computers or friends' computers to work. He was fleeing from sexual immorality. He knew what it meant to flee. And we might hear that and think, whoa, steady on, that sounds a bit extreme. Don't I need my phone to keep up to date with memes on Instagram? But I think, maybe we don't. We flee. Our bodies are deeply, deeply significant, more than we could ever imagine. Shall I then take the members of Christ and make it the members of someone we're not married to? Never. And if we're sat here this morning and actually, we're feeling a bit lukewarm as a Christian, a bit not really super happy about this, a bit distant from Christ, can I suggest that we think extra hard about these words? It may well be one reason for feeling distant from Christ might be that we're in regular sexual sin. We've made it a habit and thought that it won't damage our spiritual life, just our bodies. But messing up sexually, it displays for everyone to see a damaged relationship with Christ, and more than we might think. It damages us. And today would be the best day to seek help with this. And Christ gladly offers forgiveness to all who come for him for it. And we can ask him for that forgiveness, and we can ask him to convince us of these words, that we'd get the truth into us, that we'd reach out to friends for help, and we'd realise that bodies are significant. Our bodies are for the Lord. We flee sexual immorality. Our bodies are for the Lord. And thirdly, how so? Verse 19. Or, do you not know, Corinthians, that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? And our bodies are a temple of the Holy Spirit. And this is also, I can't understand this, a massive deal about our bodies. And Paul has already said earlier in Corinthians that we together, we are the temple. Now he is saying, individually, we are temples. So if we were to look around this room, the person behind, in front, side to side, if they're trusting in Jesus, they are a temple of the Holy Spirit. And since we are temples, we live like temples. We glorify God in our body. To try and get at what this means, we did this in Grace Groups a while back now, but God's temple in the Old Testament, built by King Solomon, it was beautiful. Beautifully ornate and decorated. Apparently, someone's done the maths, and there's around 3,000 tons of gold lined the inside of the temple. That's like 100 lorries of gold, it's easy for me to understand. But the best thing, better than all of that, was that God lived there. God lived there. It was holy. Nothing impure or spiritually dirty was allowed to enter through the doors. Keep out. Well, now as Christians, we have temples. They are bodies of blood vessels and nerves. But the best thing about our amazing bodies is that God lives in us. He makes us a temple He helps us live like a temple. And when we understand this, surely we want our bodies to be a glorious place, like the glory of the temple in the Old Testament, spiritually pure. Our bodies glorifying God, making him look amazing. That is what our bodies are for. Maybe perhaps we are here today and actually, well, we don't feel able to praise God with our bodies. Maybe we think that God has made a mistake with our body. We might think that we would prefer a different body, a body that's more attractive, that's stronger, that's less sick. Well, how good is it to know that, unlike what London says, our bodies are not made merely to attract attention or to give us pleasure. No. Our bodies are made to glorify the Lord. Whoever we are, whatever body we have, God has given us exactly the right body to fulfill the function it was designed to do. Our bodies are able to glorify the Lord. That is what they are for. And God is so pleased we bring him glory and use our bodies, what they are for. And this is where this passage bites for me. When I was a younger Christian, trying to figure out what does this mean for how I use my body now, I've done so well to listen to this passage. I need to remember today still that my body is joined to Christ. It is a holy temple. And when I believe this, when it sinks into my head, when I really understand what this means, the impact of using my body wrongly, the Spirit's helping me to change how I live, that gives me serious ammunition, serious firepower to fight the battle against sin and say, no, I'll use my body for the Lord. My body is for the Lord. I'd like to end with somebody who understood this. Jackie Hill Perry. She grew up not knowing Jesus, using her body wrongly, until she discovered Jesus, aged 19. She turned to him, and in the language of 1 Corinthians, she was washed, sanctified, justified. And she says this in her book. She realized this. My hands, head, face, legs, hips, hormones, private parts, voice, feet, fingers, feelings, were all made by him and for him. Apparently, this body was never mine to begin with. It was given to me from somebody, for somebody. Somebody who'd made it for glory and not for shame. And this is right. Maybe we're here today and we realize, like Jackie did, that we've been using our bodies completely wrongly all this time. And actually, we might feel powerless to change and like we can't do anything different. But I'd like to encourage us finally, as we close, to reflect on the last bit of today's passage. This is what Jackie understood at the end of verse 19. You are not your own, for you are bought with a price. So glorify God in your body. And brothers and sisters in Christ, Jesus has paid with his body for our body, to join our body to his body, to fill our bodies with spirit. He promises that, yes, he made us, he has redeemed us, and he will resurrect our bodies. He gives us a better way to use our body, and he gives us exactly what we need to use them rightly, to finish, to be done with sexual immorality for good, to give glory to God with our bodies. So our bodies are not worthless plastic bags, far from it. They're for the Lord, more significant than we could ever imagine. My prayer is that we would see this and start using them lightly. I'm sure that would have given us all something to think about. Let's have a think through this in our hearts before prayers, and then we'll have Q&A.